Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. This is the show where I speak to fellow actors about their journeys and they share some fun audition stories. It's usually a hoot and we have a good time. So welcome. Thank you for listening. And if you are listening, please hit that subscribe button and leave us a star or two and a review. It greatly helps. I know you're sick of hearing that from podcasters, but it does help us. So please do that. Today on the show, we have Maryam Bashir. She is the star of the brand new series Lace on All Black, a really amazing new platform that you guys, if you're not already, you know, subscribing to that and hitting up that platform, you should, because there's some amazing content. And I was so excited to talk to Maryam. So here is our conversation.
And welcome to the show, Miss Maryam Bashir.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm happy to have you, and I'm excited to talk to you about everything that you've been working on, including your new show, Lace. But let's go back to the beginning and tell me a little bit about how you got started in this wild industry.
Yes, a wild industry it is. The way that I got started is, well, as a kid, I never really thought about being an actor. I never thought of it as like a possibility for me. I was just always a very creative child who liked to do different endeavors, like, you know, make jewelry. And I was into fashion and doing hair, and just like, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur one day, and that was all I knew. And I knew that I was creative, that I loved to paint and draw and just anything creative I was into. And I'll tell you a little story about me and my sisters. We had a company called Sisters 3 where we made jewelry and sold the jewelry at art fairs in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And
love that. So cute.
And so from there, I mean, my mother always encouraged like creativity and just to kind of express ourselves in different ways. And I have an aunt who lives in New York who I used to come see a lot when I was a kid, or a few times when I was a kid. And I just knew the first time I visited New York, I have to live in New York. I have to be there. So I graduated.
You catch that New York bug and it's like done. You're just like, I need to be there.
I have to. Right. So I moved here after school, and it was a random story. A security guard stopped me at the bank, and I was just kind of there one day, and he goes, have you ever thought about like acting or modeling? You know? And I'm like, no, not really, you know, but that kind of put the bug in my ear because he was like really encouraging me, you know, you should really go after it, you know, and so I did. I went to an agency and then they ended up signing me. So that's where kind of like my career began. Mm-hmm. And from there, it just kind of like grew. So I started getting into like, you know, commercials and a lot of modeling and what else? Yeah, pretty much that's it. And I got like a couple of stable gigs, like as a swimwear fit model for a bunch of different swim brands. And
yeah,
you know, just a lot of things in the same world. So from there, you know, a lot of work. One of the groundbreaking things was SBU. They say any actor that comes, they have to go through SBU.
Yeah. Yeah. If you live in New York, you have to be on SBU. Like, it's like a staple.
Yes. So, so once, you know, once I got the acting bug and once I just start, you know, started doing more and more work, it led me to different like guest star, co-starring roles. And one of the greatest was SVU that I enjoyed so much. Yeah. And, that was in 2021 that okay. aired. And was that 2020? Listen, everything's a blur right now.
Years don't make sense anymore. Oh, they just don't.
Was it 2020? Because one of these years just kind of went and it just seemed like it didn't happen. I don't remember which one it was.
Honestly, the last two have seemed like a complete little meld of time.
Let's combine it all. We'll call it 2020/2021.
Ish.
Ish. Yeah, ish. There you go. So I did SBU, and then shortly after that, I did a film called Holiday Heartbreak, which was my first time leading as a lead actress in a feature film that was like televised and actualized and like premiered. Amazing. On the networks and stuff. So, and it's actually, they re-released it on Tubi. So it's available now on Tubi, Holiday Heartbreak.
Heck yeah.
And that is the film that I won Best Actress in a Feature Film for the HAPA Awards. So I'm very proud of
that. Amazing. Woo woo.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you. And, yeah. So from there, that was in late 2021. That was December 2021 where that aired. And so after that, Lace came about and the producers called me. It was actually a funny story. My manager, called me. It was like a Friday evening. He's like, listen, these people really want to talk to you. They want you to do this show called Lace. And he's like, you know, they're wanting to talk to you today. He said, I told them to send me the script and then you guys can talk on Monday. So you guys, I can have a video call on Monday with the two producers, Michelle and Katrina. So so he said that they pulled, he was in a nor'easter storm and just like driving his car and they called him. They're like, look, pull over now. We have to get Miriam.
Oh my gosh.
Get pull over, you know. So he pulls over in the nor'easter. She gives him all the deets. And then so we have this video call on Monday. And from the call, before I even got the call, I read the first page of the script and I'm like, oh my God, yes. Yes. Yeah. Like so much drama, scandal, like, and the show is called Lace. I play Lacey McCullough, this prolific Los Angeles attorney. And it's kind of like, it's a dream role for anyone who would want to play it. So I was so like honored to be able to be a part of the show. And, you know, like we were talking about earlier, it's like on such a groundbreaking network, All Black, the first streaming network of its kind.
It's incredible. I mean, to be a lead actress leading an entire television series on a network that is literally like groundbreaking and breaking the glass ceiling and just kicking ass. I mean, yes. That's so flipping cool.
Yeah, I'm incredibly honored. Trust me. I, you know, I'm very, very happy to just be doing what I'm doing and to have this kind of opportunity. You know, it doesn't always come across. No. You know, a lot of times we put in work and, you know, for actors, it's like things can be few and far between, you know, mm-hmm. Where, like, you do like 100 auditions and one of them might hit. So to be able to get this show, to land this great opportunity, I just feel like incredibly blessed.
Yeah.
Hashtag blessed.
I mean, it's true though. As actors, it's like we spend all of this time that, and most people don't know it. If you're not in the industry, mm-hmm. you don't realize that we spend hours and hours upon every audition and mm-hmm. we book maybe one in 100. And then you're just like, here's the thousands of hours that I used that were purely just to build my craft, but mm-hmm. I didn't get paid for that.
Exactly. And I read one time that it was like 1 in 63. The stat like of auditions, like you do one audition and you
that's
like,
so many.
And then you might like book one. I was like, oh, I think I've been lucky because I'm like, the stats have been a little bit better than that.
Yeah.
But then the last year has been kind of crazy, but you know, before that and everything, I think, you know, you do have to put in a lot of work though. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
Put in a lot of work. And so we shot Lace in 2021, which is now last year.
Yeah.
And we did that in LA. We shot in about a month, all the whole season, all six episodes.
Holy Lord.
insane. We had like a crazy shooting schedule and we just killed it every day. Sometimes we had to like, you know how it is when you're on set.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes throw things at you like, okay, we're going to add this scene today. It's like, okay, I'll memorize these 10 pages real quick. And yeah, so it was amazing though. It was like, we had great locations, a wonderful cast and crew, and you know, it turned out to be just such an amazing experience. And mm-hmm. for to debut on November 4th of 2021, it was, you know, successful. A lot of people have been responding well to the show. Everybody's asking, when is season two? When is season two? Because there are some major cliffhangers. So
we ooh. Have to.
But, you know.
We love a cliffhanger. Praying for season two.
Every episode was like that, too. Every episode was like, you know, you have to binge it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a binger, so maybe I'll binge that tonight. Well, tell me what it was like, because obviously you said you started acting after college. So, you know, a lot of people, they start acting when they're 17, 18. Mm-hmm. And it's daunting to be on a big set for the first time. Tell me what it was like being on, like, your first television role and seeing the amount of people it takes to make a show.
Oh, my gosh. The first one... I don't know. The first one where I felt so much pressure, because some of the scenes are smaller and there are less people and you don't really see the people, like the people are hiding, like the PAs. Mm-hmm. And stuff. But the first time that I was just like, okay, I'm very intimidated right now, was actually when I did SVU. And, I just kind of was, they were like, okay, it's your turn, go. And mm-hmm. there were about 100, there must have been, I don't know how many people. It was like a New York City street. There were tons of extras. There were like the whole crew, like these huge umbrellas, like just stuff everywhere, people everywhere. Mariska Hargitay directed my episode and she was just,
oh my gosh,
my entire life. Like she's, you know, just that alone was intimidating.
Yeah.
So, looking at you, okay, all the cameras are set up everywhere and it's like action. And it's like, you know, you have to be ready to perform. So it is daunting. It's intimidating. And, but you know, I'm up for the task. I feel like preparation is key. As long as you're prepared for it, mm-hmm. even in those nervous moments, you can, if you're really truly prepared and you've worked on it and you know your stuff, then you know, once you get through a few takes, it's kind of like, okay, I can do this, you know.
Yeah.
And Mariska was like such a huge cheerleader. She's like, you got this, you killed it. Like, she's like, really, you know, to have a director who's also an actor to kind of like know what you're going through, it helped a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's always a plus when you have a director that is currently an actor or used to be an actor, because they know what it's like to be on that side mm-hmm. and they know the pressure it involves, because it's not just, you know, you, of course, want to deliver the best performance that you possibly can.
Of course. Yeah.
But you also have hundreds of people surrounding you knowing that there's, you know, if you mess up on this take, they're going to have to do it again and they have to stay another 10 minutes tonight and they don't want to do that.
Yes, the pressure. But you know, pressure makes diamonds. That's
yeah. I recently saw an interview. Tom Holland was talking about how he had been told by somebody early in his career to turn his nervousness into excitement. And I think that's the best thing I've ever heard.
You can use that. It's like the nervous energy. I feel like it comes from the same thing. The nervousness, mm-hmm. excitement, it kind of like comes from the same part of you.
Yeah.
Because you can actually use that as fuel to you know, to put into the character, to put into the scene. So it's exciting. Like the nervousness is like a slash excitement.
Well, yeah. And I think being nervous is also like a good thing, because it means that you care about it. It means that you want to be there. It means that you have a passion for it and you're not just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. I don't want to get to the point where I'm like, you know, because then you're not challenging yourself. You're not putting mm-hmm. any pressure on yourself. And the work's honestly probably not going to be as good unless you are like really challenging yourself and feeling the stomach jitters that you feel.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of challenging yourself, I mean, you're at this great point in your career. You have, you know, these things kind of snowballing now. What is it that you want as an actor to explore? What kind of characters do you want to tackle?
The kind of characters that I want to tackle, I would love to do action heroes, sci-fi, just like some kick-ass characters.
Yeah.
You know, like anime style, you know, Lara Croft, like I'm into that kind of stuff. So, you know, I love you know, playing an attorney. It's a range, you know. Then on SBU, I can go to playing like a stripper, or yeah. You can go to play, you know, it's like, or you can play like a college student or like a waitress, or you know, it's always fun to have that range and to be able to do different things. But like, my soul inside wants me to be like an action hero, you know.
I see it. That's I see fun. It for you. All
right, cool. Love the whole sci-fi world. I love just, you know, the television right now, just on Netflix and Amazon Prime, like, and who, there are so many amazing, fantastical TV mm-hmm. shows. And I'm like, I would love to be a part of that, to have like some kind of special powers or magic or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would love, I don't see that many Black women doing a lot of stuff like that. You know,
no, I feel like the only one that comes to mind is Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, that's one of them. And I've seen some, like some of the newer ones. There's a great show on Amazon Prime, that is The Wheel of Time. That was
very Oh, yes.
Have you seen that?
I watched the first couple episodes and I was like, okay, I got to do this, but I need to focus on it. And I haven't been able to.
Yeah. I love that show. They are very, I noticed, I'm like, because a lot of the, especially the medieval times, they don't really showcase a lot of people. I don't really see myself. I'm like, okay, was everybody mm-hmm. you know, white in this, you know, no. in this fantasy world, like, could they at least, you know, I get it, but, you know, let's get a little bit of inclusion. So I love to see, like, shows like that that are showing, you know, strong African-American characters as well, you know, mm-hmm. like, Asian, you know, just all different nationalities, and I love to see it. Like, I love to see that.
Well, yeah. And it's more representative of what the world actually is.
Let's be real, right?
I mean, that's how the world actually is. So it should be that.
It's so important. That's why, you know, even with Lace, just playing a Black female, an attorney who's extremely successful, who's, you know, has all the things that she wants in life, you know, her personal life is a little bit, there's a little bit to be desired. She has a lot going on. But,
she's like, a kick-ass lawyer. Come on.
Thank you. That's important. So, you know, a little Black girl might see that and say, oh, you know, I can be that. Because a lot of times, like, when you have a dream as a kid, if you don't see yourself, you're not going to think, like, I can actually do this. Yeah. So it's just, the inclusion is just so important, you know. So I love to be a part of shows like that for people to maybe look up at, to me and say, okay, I can do this.
You mentioned earlier that you have always been an entrepreneur. So tell me a little bit about that and, like, what you see in the future. Maybe you step behind the camera. What kind of things do you want to do outside of acting?
I see so many things. Oh my gosh. So this is, as far as acting, I just want to go as far as I possibly can. I'm talking Oscars. I'm talking,
yeah, baby,
you know, major films. I'm talking big networks. And that's my main priority right now. I do see definitely a lot of things entrepreneurially in the future. I see like beauty brands. I see those kind of, you know, endorsements, but like, you know, with my name. Mm-hmm. I see being behind the camera. That's something that I have so many ideas just as an actor and like living life. You kind of just think of all these ideas. Oh my God, this would make such a great film, or this would make such a great series. So to be able to, you know, collaborate with some people and just kind of like step behind the camera and kind of like produce and things like that is an exciting idea for me to think about. So,
well, I think as an actor, it's like we read all these scripts all the time. We know what's out there. We know what people are making, and we know what is still needed.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that's exciting to think about. I mean, I love the acting role, and I also want to still act. Like, I want to just act forever, like Cicely Tyson. You know, she was like in her 90s and she like passed away still, like right before that, was like working on films and you know. So I think acting is such a beautiful career, because I was actually talking to somebody about that the other day, like about, like, you know, like what happens after acting and retirement and stuff like that. You know, people with the 9-to-5s, they have like to think about retirement, and I'm like, you know, I want to be able to just live and support myself, but then at the same time it's like I just want to always be able to work. You know,
yeah,
it's something that you just like never stop doing.
Well, on this show, we like to share audition stories of things that have either gone awry, like the recording of this podcast, or...
listen, we're able to adapt to things.
Yeah, we are. but we like to share stories about, you know, funny things that have happened or bad things that have happened. Do you have anything you'd like to share with the audience?
Oh my gosh, there are so many bad things that have happened in audition. Let me think something good. Something funny. Okay, so this was for a really big show, right? And I went in for the audition, and I killed it. Like, I killed the audition. I was like, okay, I was amazing. You know, I was feeling myself after that, right? Then I went to the call. I got the call back. I was like, I knew I was going to get a call back. Like, mm-hmm. I was pulling up with the tears and everything. You know, they came through the tears.
Yes.
And so I got the call back, which I expected. But then when I went to the call back, I sucked. Like, I completely sucked at the call back. So the call back was like 15 people. The audition was like 2 people, like the reporter, mm-hmm. and like the casting director or the casting assistant or whoever. And it was like at the network. So it was a big deal. So but then when I went for the call back, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I guess I was just nervous and it just overtook me. I felt mm-hmm. like I sucked. And there were 15 people, including the director, producer. And these are like major people who like have several shows on TV right now, who have been around for many years. And, you know, it's intimidating. And so I went up there and I felt like it wasn't as good as the callback. I mean, as their initial audition. Mm-hmm. So as I'm walking out, I hear somebody say, like the major person say, red light. And I was like, you know, as I was walking out, I couldn't just turn around because they were like,
what does that mean?
Like, what does that mean, red light? I started Googling. Nothing came up. I'm like, what does red light mean? I have to know. And so I was like, they probably were just like, red light, stop. Like, you know, she's out of here. So why did they call me back like a couple hours later and said that I booked the job? I was like, oh my gosh. So red light must have meant like, stop.
That's the one.
Yeah. So I was just like, okay, apparently sometimes when you think you bombed it, like you really killed it, you know? And sometimes when you think you killed it, they never call you.
So yeah. You never know what they want on the other side of that table. Never.
I was just like, okay, I could have sworn I killed that and never got a phone call. And then sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, I completely sucked. And then I think because you let it go, sometimes when you feel like you're sucking anyway, you just kind of like let it go and then you're more mm-hmm. natural. I'm trying to think of what science is behind it, but.
I mean, it could be. You know that you're sucking when you're sucking. Like, you get halfway through and you're like, oh man, I'm bombing this so bad. Whatever. Nothing I do now is going to save this. Here it is.
Natural human, and that's when you book it. So
yeah, you could be onto something here.
I think so. We should try to see all the auditions and see what happens.
I'm gonna intentionally bomb this so that hopefully I sound more human.
Yes, yeah, that works.
I love that. Well, it has been such a pleasure talking to you and getting to know you, and I'm so excited to see what you do next. Where can people follow you on social media?
So my Instagram is MariamBassir_. So it's just MariamBassir_. And everything is pretty much there. All my links are there. Everything is like through Instagram now. So, and I have another film coming out this year, early this year sometime. And they haven't announced the name of it yet, but it's with Mary Hardrick and Eamon Joseph.
Snowfall. Wow.
I'm really excited.
Well, everyone's going to have to follow you so that we can keep up with your work and see this new movie. And I'm so excited to see your career. I think you have such a bright future ahead and such a great personality and energy and vibe. So thank you again.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate this. It was great talking to you,
Jillian. You too. Thank you again to Mariam for coming on the show. We had so many technical issues recording this episode, so thank you for hanging in there with me as we figured out what was wrong with the internet and all of the things that were happening. Thanks again for listening. Tune in next week. I'll have another awesome person on the show. And if you haven't yet, hit up our social media. Those links are in the show notes. And we do a lot of fun, cool graphics over on our Instagram. So hit that up. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.